Hey, After Buzzers, before we move on to your next topic, we just want to say thanks to our sponsor, Anchor. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. Plus, there are creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Also, Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. Plus, you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership, and it's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor FM to get started.
I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Hi, y'all. It's Amiria Sai with AfterBuzz TV for Spotlight On, and you're here with my love, Eureka, the Elephant Queen, honey. How you doing, love?
I'm doing okay. I'm quarantined and safe. Quarantine and chill.
Quarantine and chill. Well, there's no better place than in a room full of wigs. I'm loving it.
Honey, there's wigs and shoes and fabrics. Oh my.
I love it. If y'all don't know Eureka, you're an idiot. Eureka is the ninth, and you're on the ninth season of RuPaul's Drag Race. And did you break your foot? What happened?
I tore my ACL, knee injury.
Tore your ACL. And then came back and then really killed it and got into all of our hearts. So tell me a little bit about, because I know everyone's going to want to know, what was that experience? I'm sure you get this question all the time. Mm-hmm. But what was that experience like going? What I want to know is, before you went on RuPaul's Drag Race, were you hesitant, like fearful? What was your kind of feeling before you started?
Before my first time or coming back?
First time.
I mean, I was just a little podunk girl from East Tennessee, honey. So I was just excited to go anywhere. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was my first flight ever was to Hollywood to go to RuPaul's Drag Race. So I was just like terrified on the plane, but I was just excited to be a part of something. And then met Gaga and stuff. I mean, it blew my mind when I had my knee injury and stuff. That was like, that was hard just because it was like, damn, like, you know, this was a really cool moment in my life. And I just like got injured and got sent home. So it was a little intense. You know, but it really came out on the other side. You know what I mean? Season 10 was great. I love Drag Race. I'm watching it now. I'm a huge fan.
Good. It's always good to love what got you kind of on your level and got you to where you're at. It's always good. I think it's really nice. A lot of people turn their backs on kind of what got them started, but it's nice that you're still a fan, and that's really cool. I love that.
Yeah, I think you become more of a fan being on the show, because then you understand it even more, you know, and you know how to even get to know the girls more, because you're like, you understand the TV aspects of it. So you're not really bothered by some of the pettiness and the drama that can ensue. You're more engaged with like the reality of it, I guess. It's just coming from like being on the inside, I guess. I don't know. It's different for sure.
Right. It seems like you have more respect for the whole process.
Oh, absolutely. It's the hardest thing I've ever done in my entire life. Wow. Season 10 especially, like, it's just a really hard shooting schedule. It's a lot of hard, like, drag is hard anyway. So, you know what I mean? Like, just to do a show in one night, like, people usually spend a few hours, like, they hang out with people, like, they mingle in the bar. There's so much build up to a show, you know what I'm saying, that feeds your energy. And something like that, like, you're just constantly giving out energy. You're not being really fed energy unless you happen to do well and, you know, hear from the judges or stuff like that. But it's like, you know, it's really, you're all on your own. It's intense.
So what I'm hearing is that, do you prefer when they have the live audiences sometimes on RuPaul's Drag Race, do you prefer that because you get a little bit of energy kind of thrown back at you?
Absolutely. I do anyway, but that's just like, but I mean, and I guess that is proof to like, the challenges that I did the best in were challenges where there were crowds, like the Bossy Rossi show with me and Aquaria doing the sexy baby, like improv challenge. We had a live audience, you know what I'm saying? And I excelled because of that, I think. And then we did the drag con challenge where we like did a little drag con panel, remember, for a live audience. I excelled in that. So I think for me personally, I'm like, it's hard for me to even do it with this quarantine stuff. Like, there's been a lot of live shows online, you know what I mean?
Right.
And I'm doing one tonight, I'm hosting. And I just sit here, and I'm like, hang up a sheet of fabric and make a backdrop, you know what I mean? Like, try to make it cute, but it's like, it's not a live audience, it's different.
It's very different. And I saw that a lot of people were doing those drag shows, and I was wondering, because I'm a stand-up comedian and it's really hard for me to even do these Zoom shows because there's no like energy being sent back to you. So it's kind of a bummer.
Yeah, it's definitely different. That's what you're talking about. Because you did a comedy show, you said, yeah?
Yeah. And there was like, there's a disconnect between getting that energy back. You're like, am I being funny? Am I being fishy? Like, what am I doing wrong or right? And you just don't know.
I bet it would be interesting to watch. Did you watch it back?
I did watch it back. And there was a lot of moments where you're kind of like, waiting and you're like, oh, I don't have a laughter. Like, you gotta move on to the next joke.
Yeah. That's hard.
Cool that we can still do it in this time and, you know, in this weird time. So how do you think drag is going to be affected by all that's kind of like the quarantine? Obviously people are doing live shows, but do you think that like, how do you think it's going to change if it goes on for another couple months?
I mean, it's hard to say because honestly, it's not... The scariest part is like these entertainers and stuff, this is the money they make normally. Like a lot of people, these are their jobs now. Doing drag has become jobs for people. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, you know, they don't have a stay at home job or like something they can go back to or whatever, but there's so many people out of work right now. So they're not just stand up. I think drag queens are like, honestly, drag queens are very survivor typed people. And I think that's why they do drag was to survive. So, you know, drag queens are like, Cher and cockroaches, we're always going to be here. You know what I'm saying? Like,
it's very true.
We're not going anywhere and we'll thrive in any condition. You know what I'm saying? So drag will always be around, especially now that it's in mainstream. I mean, it's only getting more and more like exposure. It's crazy the level that drag is at in general. And then these Instagram live shows just shows people like support it and they need it because they're willing to like continue to give money to it. Even with all of us struggling and stressing about money. You know?
Absolutely. Drag creates like a community within the LGBTQ that maybe there was a disconnect. Like, I know a lot of people don't get along, but when it comes to watching RuPaul's Drag Race every Friday night, they would pile into the bars, you know? So there's that energy. Like, it really brings everyone together.
Well, and when I host it, well, normally it's like I did the first episode here at Rocco's in West Hollywood for a friend. And it was so fun because I forget like how much it's like gay sports. You know what I'm saying? It's like, bitch, that's our like football game, honey. We're it screaming is. And oohing and aahing and, you know, like in a bar, so, you know, like at the TV. Yeah. Like,
It is our kind of moment.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I think we're so, you know, we have such gay icons is because we don't have those people in media already. We have very few that we can really idolize. You know what I mean? We have like, you know, there's only a handful of openly gay people, I think, that are like at a level of famous where everyone adores them and there's that adoration. There's some, but with us, we get to choose and we get to make our own famous people. It's kind of crazy, you know?
Right. Honestly, it's absolutely true.
The hetero community has really grown to love Drag Race even more too, I think. I think a lot of the demographic has changed a lot, especially with cisgendered females. And even like families now are getting into the show. It's wild.
It's really cool. I mean, do you think that has something to do with the fact that it went to VH1? So it became a bit more like... Okay.
But it wouldn't have went to VH1 if it wasn't under demand. You know what I'm saying?
Very true.
So, I mean, it's like, it might have... Ooh. My shit. How are you? My shit just like tried to lean back on us.
It's okay. Ooh, lean back.
Right. I lean back.
Lean back.
Yeah, that's my rambling on that. How are you doing with this quarantine?
I'm good. You know, I'm just kind of still doing shows and we do a lot of after shows. We actually have one about RuPaul's Drag Race. So we've been still doing those and the good thing is like I'm a producer as well and like we don't have anywhere, everything's on hold, so it's good to have this to kind of keep me sane. And TikTok, I love TikTok. Have you gotten on TikTok? I think you would kill it.
You know what, it's like it's kind of like the Tiger King for me. There's two things I'm refusing to do as a part of this quarantine, and it is the fucking Tiger King and TikTok.
Okay, got it.
So I'm just like, do not do it to yourself.
I respect that.
Or else I will do nothing but. I can't.
I respect that. I really respect that. That's funny. Speaking of drag, I'm just curious as to kind of where the impetus came for you to do it. Like you said, you were from a small town. Like what kind of pushed you, you know, Eureka, to go, I'm going to do it. This is my
thing. Drag?
Yes.
Actually, I had a fake ID until I turned 18, and they wouldn't let me in because it expired. So I needed a reason to, like, get in the bar with my ID. So I had this brilliant idea to do it in drag, to, like, go to the bar and drag. So I started going to the gay bar only in drag, and then it just kind of blossomed from there. They, like, were like, do a Tuesday night talent show. And then I did it, and then I kept doing it. And then I, like, turned out I really liked it. Right. It's all just been, like, nonstop since I was 18.
Wow. That's amazing.
You know? So it's, like, since, yeah, like, girl, Lord, I've been doing drag a long time.
Wow.
It's so weird. No one's gorgeous and good at it.
Yes, you are. Yes. We have to love our own shit. I 100% agree with that. You got to love your own shit. How do you like, because I know a lot of people look up to you, and I know at DragCon, they look up to you for that body positivity. You're not the typical, you know, queen, but you're killing it. And now,
I'm soaking in the compliments.
Yeah, soak it in, take it in. We all need compliments during this time, right?
Especially right now. I'm just like, ooh, right. Feed me, Seymour.
Yes, I got you. I'm all about giving compliments. So when do you get like messages from younger, you know, gay children being looking up to you, and kind of the message that you put out, this like, I don't give an energy that is, I really look up to as well myself.
Oh, well, thanks. Yeah. It's hard to not give a fuck when you care about everything. You know what I mean? It's like, but it's a way of life, I think. You know, I think we all care about everything, but it is hard to not give a fuck. But my character is very that. And she's just, I don't know. I don't try. Okay. The thing is, it's like, I've just been through a lot. So I don't really try to be anything special to people or try to be a role model. Honestly, I think I'm a big messy hoe. So the fact that people like find me inspirational and like the fact that I love myself and stuff helps them. That's amazing. Like, I love that. So I do get messages and stuff. And that's what I try to tell them too. I'm just like, there's not anything special I don't think I'm doing, except like, you know, I change the narrative in my mind as much as I can from the negative to a positive. I think it's about the law of attraction. Like, what you speak on yourself is what you're going to believe about yourself, you know? So just like, be nice to yourself. Right.
Right.
Yeah. Others people's opinions. The thing is like, we think that it's other people, what they think of us, that bothers us. But the problem is it's what other people think convinces you to think the same thing. So that's what hurts you. All of a sudden you believe them. You're like, oh yeah, I am ugly or disgusting or unattractive or not sexy or mean or hateful or rude or manipulative or whatever they want to try to convince you or like make you feel in that moment. And maybe in that moment, girl, you were. You know what I mean? Forgive yourself too. You know what I'm saying? Like, get over it. Yeah.
So get over it.
Yeah. So that's all I do, really. Yeah.
I love that.
It's a daily affirmation.
Daily affirmation. And I think even Mama Ru says it, right? What other people think of you is not your business. And I've been trying to put that in my own life, because people are petty. And I know that when you get to, like, you have the blue check mark and you have a certain amount of followers and some fame, people love to throw shade and, you know, so.
Oh, yeah. Girl, and honestly, I'm just like, work. Like, when someone's mean about me, I'm just like, work. I have really bothered you.
Yes, you have.
And I love it when my fans stick up for me and stuff, because that's really kind of the sweet part, is you get those shitty people in there, but then it also gives your fans something to fight for. They want to believe in you, and they want something to fight for too. And when they when your fans start fighting for you, and like, because they know what you really represent, that's really where the power comes from. And that's like, I think that's really like the special connection with like drag and stuff, is just like, there's a belief system with it. Like, people believe in it. You know what I mean? Believe in the power of it. That's crazy.
Right. And because it's beautiful. It's beautiful what you guys do, because I think a lot of, like, even I'm gay, but like doing drag is always like another level to being queer. And I think that, like you said, your drag queens are our icons, you know? So we definitely look up the drag queens and go, wow, like, that's amazing that you can get on this stage and kind of perform in that way. Are there moments, like, when you're at DragCon where you're, like pinching yourself? You're like, oh, my God, I can't believe this is my life.
I stay pinching myself, to be honest. Only because I'm into it.
You know
what I'm saying? Yeah. Work. Come on. Kinks me. St. Patrick's Day is my favorite day of the year.
Yes.
I'm not wearing no green. No, I mean, yeah, I do. Honestly, a lot of times I don't believe it. Like, I have a problem with feeling bad about being successful. Like, I have a really bad problem with successful remorse or whatever. I don't know if people have called it that before. But I do have that problem where I'm just like, because I'm successful, I feel bad for some that might not get it or might not have it or want it. And when you see that passion and stuff, like, that's kind of my problem is I'm like, oh, no. And I'm like, I'm a dumb piece of shit. I don't deserve all this love. You deserve some of it. You know what I mean? Like, I don't really believe that, but you know what I mean? Like,
right. No, I got you. But I think that's why you get the opportunities, because I think the universe is like, let me give Eureka more opportunities, yeah, because you're not trying to take it from other people. So
I feel bad about it. But I think it's also because I end up in the right place at the right time. I think it is the universe and it is luck sometimes, you know, and also sure, hard work, you know, just be consistent.
Right. Right.
If you're going to be messy, at least be consistently messy.
Exactly. Exactly. Gonna, I love, you know, that.
But if you're going to like do drag, just do it. Or if you're going to be a comedian, do it. You know what I'm saying? Just do it. Whatever you want to do, sure. I think just put your all in it and just do it.
Well, I think a lot of people, correct me if I'm wrong, they want to do it when they're like famous. And I'm like, you got to start somewhere. So you might do a show for 5 people and then 5 people become 20 and then it's like a snowball. Girl, a lot of people don't want to do that. So
I have done some shows for 1 or 2 people in the audience.
Wow.
I'm saying. And the bartenders and the doorman. You know what I'm saying? Like, girl, I've done some shows where there was more entertainers backstage than in the audience. You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
Very that. East Tennessee fish.
But how do you do in those moments, like when you're in East Tennessee, like, how do you find the confidence to just go in front of one person when it probably took you a couple hours, if not more, to get into drag?
You do it for the check.
Mm.
Really? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? At that time, it was like, I was only getting paid like $25 a show, but I needed that $25. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
So, and I had a bag of rickety makeup, honey, and a costume I could throw on. So, bitch, I came out twirling. The owner knew I deserved my $25. There might be some person out there. Just that, I think.
Love that. That's awesome. Obviously, like, drag is your life, and you have so much passion in it. Obviously, what went down with, you know, RuPaul's Drag Race and Cherry Pie, like, did you, like, were you kind of, like, frustrated? Heart. Or were you just kind of, like, were you like, okay, this is just how it's going down, or...
Oh my God.
We lost you. God. Drama.
Oh, I lost you. Hold on.
The drama.
I don't know what that was, honey. That was the universe. Like, ooh.
I was like, that was the end of the interview.
Oh God. And goodbye.
Goodbye.
Cherry pie. Goodbye. Goodbye. That's what Drag Race said to her, honey. They said, bye, girl. Miss
bye,
thing.
Girl. Bye,
when I say, girl, when I say, I honestly, I was just, the situation itself, I don't really have comments on, because there's a lot of opinions about the situation. It's terrifying and awful. But when it comes to Drag Race, mama, they did what they felt like they had to do, but mama, they erased her. You know what I'm saying? I was like, oh my God. And then I saw her post and stuff like that. And I was just like, ooh. My tea was like, you know that video with Manila Luzon where she's like got the cup of tea, like, oh
yeah,
I felt like that, girl. I was just like, oh God, it was so much spilled tea. They have got to be working their asses off trying to cut her out and stuff, you know what I mean, because she's doing well,
which I think is harder if she had not done as well, maybe
that part
Bummer.
Well, girl, that part.
The bummer.
Mama, and she looks like she might do well the rest of the season. I don't know.
I know. She's doing really well, so I'm like, awkward.
I mean, what's going to happen when she keeps winning episodes, and then she's already disqualified, right? So, I mean, honestly just kind of, I'm nosy and curious, and you know, they don't tell us girls nothing. They don't, because they know better. They know the girls will clickety-clackety-cluck-cluck, honey, and as soon as we find out anything, we start calling the other girls, like, ooh, bitch, did you hear? Blah, 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 blah. So World of Wonder has caught on and knows better.
True.
I don't really know anything, and But I do wonder, like, how's the finale going to go? Like, are they going to, whoever was, like, next in line, are they going to get bumped up? You know what I'm saying? Like, what are they doing? What's the format going to be? Because we don't know who the top four is. Are they just going to do a top three? Or, you know, I don't know. So
we don't know.
I'm curious.
And is it even going to be live? We'll have to see. Maybe it'll be on Zoom. I don't know.
Well, they might just have to film it without an audience because people are still kind of doing that. I think people are still filming stuff like without an audience.
Right.
But even that's risky, especially in a month or two.
It's a little risky because Andy Cohen was doing that and he still got it, got Corona, because he was doing that no audience, but just the cat, like just his crew. So
I just don't want the corona.
We don't want it.
Do you feel like Drag Race did what they should have done?
I think they did the best they could have done. I mean, again, if it was someone that wasn't doing as well, they could have maybe cut around that person. But you know, they have that very dramatic message in the beginning. That's it's all very dramatic. And you know, the gays, we love this drama. So we love the dramatic black screen that says like she was disqualified. We are here for that. So we're here
every
for
every episode. Twice an episode, mama, at the beginning and the end. And the on end. Untucked. Ooh.
Yeah. Ooh, it's very dramatic. And they don't want you to fall in love with her. They're like, don't fall in love with her. She out. So
but weirdly, weirdly, does it make you almost more interested because you never get to see her? Not saying, like, there's a part of me that's like, I get more curious about her as a character, but then I remember, like, obviously I can't support you, and I don't, but I'm also, like, weirdly intrigued because I'm like, you're keeping me from her, and I want to know more, you know? So I'm just like, I wonder how many other people are feeling that way, where I'm just like, she's kind of slaying it, you know what I mean?
Yeah. So I no, there's a lot. More. No, there's a lot. I'll send you this Instagram. It's, like, Sherry Pie content, and it's, like, all of her kind of deleted scenes that are like all someone had found them. So I think everyone's morbidly curious, you know, like we want to know more. So
it's like, it is an interesting and an intriguing story. And the one thing I wonder, and a friend of mine brought this up weirdly, we can talk about this, I feel, is like, is it almost going to end up glamorized in a way that does give her a comeback? You know what I mean? Because the fans are very that, like, World of Wonder's canceling her, so we're gonna glamorize her. You know what I'm saying? Like, as fans, we're very, like, rebellious to, like, you know what I mean? It's never what we want it to be. You all are not correct. You all did not learn and, like, win the award for understanding what we want.
Nope.
We want opposite of what you're giving, you know?
Yeah, so yeah, makes sense.
I wonder, yeah.
That's going to be, we'll have to wait and see. I don't know, but it seems that way. You're right. Because I think now she's found her own group of fans that are, like, maybe kind of against the grain or I don't know.
Well, there's always, like, people that don't care about how others are affected by things. You know what I'm saying? And they just, like, they're just not, they just don't care. There are people that care and people that don't. So there are going to be people that don't care that are going to still want to be her fans, you know? And that's their place, girl.
Well, Eureka, it's the same people that are going to the beach right now and kind of just, like, still going out and about. It's like, hello?
Yeah.
some people care, some people don't.
Bitch, the same people that would hide their zombie bite, bitch. Okay?
absolutely.
Oh,
right.
I haven't been bitten. Yeah.
No, okay. Yeah, you have, girl. You're foaming at the mouth.
Right, mama. that is a green and purple bite on your arm, mama, and it is pussing. Yeah. What is happening?
What is happening? So tell me about those wigs behind you. Who's the favorite?
I love all of my children equally.
So diplomatic.
well, you know, I don't want one of them to get mad, honey, because then she'll be coming out here frizzy and fucked up.
Oh, there you go. You don't want anyone to turn on you during quarantine as well.
Honestly, my favorite kind of wig really is, and I can just describe it, but it's like a ponytail slicked back with like a big ponytail moment.
Oh, yes. I love that look.
My hair pulled back off my face.
It looks so good. Like, I love that for you.
Oh my God, I'm the worst.
It's okay.
Okay. Never mind. I'm not going to grab one down because I was...
No, it's okay. No, I know exactly which look you meant. Like the double ponytail. I love that. That's amazing.
Yeah, like I like anything pulled off my face because I have such a big face and then I can like paint big and it just evens out. I mean, proportionizing my face, you know, hair ratio.
I love that. I love that. Yeah. So I'm going to ask you about your, were you part of a drag family or did you kind of just do your own thing? Did you have like a drag mom?
I have a drag mother named Jacqueline St. James. She's a former KUSA at large. She's in Tennessee. Ooh. And I have a drag father named Todd O'Hara, which is where O'Hara comes from, via the House of Gone with the Wind.
Fabulous.
But, you know, he kind of taught me drag. And then as I grew into an adulthood, he moved away. And then my drag mother kind of took the reins. And, like, so I was very blessed with a couple of, he helped me learn how to kind of sew and stuff. And then she helped me learn how to be a good queen. You know, she's a openly trans woman, you know, in her 40s. So she's just lived through a lot. So she was able to teach me a lot about life and drag in a professional sense too, because she's been doing it for 25 years, you know, not on a national platform necessarily, but still so in the drag community. She's known in the pageant world of drag.
Awesome. Okay. Awesome. I love that. Speaking of pageants, obviously your new show, We're Here, for HBO with Changela and Bob, who I know. I love Bob. So what a nice, like, group you guys put together. So how did it all happen? I'm curious, did they come to you, or was it an idea that you all three had together to go kind of from city to city? It's very, I was crying in the preview. So there's a lot of heart.
A beautiful, amazing, incredible show. Because they are in it, you know what I mean? Honestly, Bob and Changela both have such a power that is unmeasured by anyone I've ever met, you know what I mean? In different ways. Changela is just such a genuine people person and understands the industry in just a very simple, like, likable way. And then Bob is just so smart, you know what I mean? And understands, you know, civil respectability and, like, humans and interactions. And, you know, he's very self-aware. So he's just brilliant. And you know, is able to educate, like, so easily and in, like, a reasonable way. And, you know, the team themselves, like, Johnny and Steven, whom are some, like, Steven is a lawyer, like an entertainment lawyer, works with a lot of huge people like Charlize Theron and Leonardo DiCaprio. And, like, I mean, he's very high, like, in entertainment law. And then Johnny's like a huge marketing type person, like advertising and marketing. And then they came up with this idea randomly on vacation and approached me and the girls about it. So we don't have, you know, we were pulled onto the show as consulting producers just to, like, help them understand how drag worked and how the shows would work. And so we've definitely been a part of the actual, like, production of the show, but the idea was genuinely theirs. Yeah.
Wow. So, that's so cool.
It's been crazy. Amazing.
Wow. So you're star and producer, honey, and HBO. I mean, hello.
It's wild, but that's actually very true. Yeah. We are, you know, it's true.
I love that.
You know, we get our little producing credit, and, you know, it's like, it's exciting because it's just, it's a realm of the industry that we're able to, like, tap into, you know what I mean? That I feel like people like RuPaul and Bianca Del Rio, and there's only a couple people that have really tapped into that level of the market, I think. Like, producing and stuff too, and just HBO pushing out LGBT content, like, whoa, you know?
That's and like, and just to see your trailer that was an elephant, I was like, wow, that's so cute. It's so cute. And it's like, what about it was, like, the hardest part for you? Was it being, because you're very open, like, you were on one of my queer inclusivity panels and you were very raw and open and emotional. We, like, cried together. So did you struggle with any of, like, having those emotions on camera with people you didn't know, or was it easy to get there?
Miss Thang, you know I am. Miss Thang, you know it was easy to get there. Have you met me?
Yes, it was.
I just try to be genuine and open. And I think that's what helps me on the show, is that the people that I work with connect to me easily, just because I don't mind being vulnerable and honest so that then they can feel comfortable too. You know, I live by the merit in a situation like that, or anytime I'm talking to someone emotionally, it's like, I try to let them see my vulnerable side so they can feel comfortable too, you know, so they know they're not being judged, I guess. But no, I'm definitely not afraid to be honest about my emotions. But also, it's like, it was cool to get to help other people because you learn so much about yourself. You know, I mean, the show's full of so many diverse characters too. You know, the premise of the show, I don't know if you know, but basically we're traveling to smaller towns because we all kind of come from small towns ourselves and have made it into a successful realm. And there's these LGBT cultures there that are very suppressed and, you know, people that are different elements of the spectrum, like allies, trans allies, you know, gay, lesbian, cisgender, cis male, cis female, all the above has been a part of the show, you know, and have experienced like, and we're pushing into an experience of drag, but also like, we talk about more of the element of how like we as a chosen family support each other and like the resources you can find by being out there and open, you know, and like showing your face so that others know too. And, you know, creating safe spaces. And then also like we get to do drag and like create a show with them and we invite their townspeople, you know, we go out and like get people to come see the show and like physically do it. Expose these towns to a different type of drag and a level of it that's inspiring to these towns, and it creates it. You know, these people come together for these shows, and the energy in that building is always like a safe space type place that decides that they're comfortable with us having the show. And it's usually a place that they didn't know was a safe space, so which is that's really cool. And then we power it up really that night with all these people and all this energy and the cheer and the love and the acceptance. So imagine how long those buildings are going to last with that energy. You know what I mean? Like, it's absolutely. Really, it's special. Everyone that works on it, like, they get so emotional every night at the show, like, after and stuff, just because the energies are so incredible. Like, and just you can feel the change and the freedom. People are just living free that didn't know they could. Like, we've seen mothers, like, come around to their parents, like, to their kids. Like, we're seeing, like, it's just... It's wild. It's really cool. We're seeing the struggle of trans
I'm gonna cry.
You're gonna cry, but you're also
right now.
Be
just
like,
you
yes.
explaining it. You explaining it right now is making me cry because it's like it's taking up space, and that's something that you do so like you, Changela, and Bob do so effortlessly.
I agree.
You guys take up space without like taking the air out of the room, and so that's why I kind of got choked up when you were explaining it. I love that.
That's a beautiful way to hear it said, too, because it is true. I mean, me, Bob, and Changela are very, like, big presences. So it's like, I think that is what's going to help the dynamic of the show. It's really special to be a part of, to be honest.
That's awesome.
I'm very blessed,
You really are. And I think that a lot of people look up to you and a lot of people are just so proud of what you've done with your career, and me included. But I just have a fun question as we kind of round out the interview is, if you weren't doing drag, is there something like a secret talent you have or something else you could see yourself doing?
You know, honestly, I always saw myself being a teacher.
Okay.
Yeah. Like, you know, and I've always been interested in like theater and stuff like that. So I would probably teach and like try to run the theater department or, you know what I mean? Like music or be a part of the arts somehow, but like teach it probably.
I can see that.
Yeah.
And I would love to have you. Ooh, science. Ooh.
I love science. Yeah. Biology, especially. And chemistry. I just love science and math, weirdly.
Wow. Look at you. You have a lot of secret talents. I love it.
I have some other secret talents, but it might be inappropriate here.
Yes. Very appropriate for this show.
Oh, okay. Here we go.
Here we go.
We're here.
Away. Just to round out, so like, just three words that explain you, like, as a person, like, three words that kind of define the Eureka brand.
The Eureka brand or me as a person? Because there are going to be two separate sets of three words.
Oh, well, give me two separate sets of three words. That's okay. Give me one for Eureka and one for the brand.
Well, for Eureka, I think she's just, like, a personality, confidence, and volume.
Yeah, volume.
And that can be audio or space, really, you know? And just over the top, obviously, glamorous, etc. I can all kinds of words for her. For me, I would probably say, like, complex, introvert, extrovert, more than people would think, as, like, a personal person. And, I don't know what the third one would be. Beautiful.
Oh, yes! Beautiful, yes. So thank you so much. Yeah, I mean...
Well, no, what about you? Give me three.
Oh, I'll give you three. Oh, I'm being interviewed now. How fun. Okay. I think mine is very, very quirky. Outgoing introvert. So a lot of people don't know that. I agree with you. I'm also, like, I'm loving the quarantine because I don't have to see people.
Right.
And people don't know that because they're like, oh, you love people. Do you miss being out? And I'm like, I'm actually fine. Yeah. And then I think the third one is very intersectional. So I'm a, okay. I'm a gay, Persian, femme, Muslim. There's a lot going on. So all of that together creates a lot of intersection.
It sounds like a fruit smoothie I would love to drink.
Yes, honey. Like. We'll put two straws in it. We can share. After right. the paper. Corona's done. After Corona.
Paper straws. Paper straws.
Yes, paper. Paper right. straws after Corona. We'll share a smoothie.
Or we'll just do that challenge where it's the toilet paper roll. Have you looked? Have you seen that?
I haven't.
It's too much. Oh, my God. The kids are doing this crazy thing where they put like soda water in a cup. And they take a toilet paper roll, like the cardboard part, and take a drink of it. But when you suck it through, it's such a big hole, it goes straight down your windpipe, so it chokes you.
Oh, God. People are... The internet has lost their minds. Oh, my God.
Everyone's obsessing over Tiger King. The world has lost their minds. This is too much.
The world has lost their minds. It's too much. Tiger King, this toilet paper challenge. And then Eureka, there's another one where people are licking public toilets on TikTok. So, yeah, there's also that. Yeah. Unfortunate.
You are lying.
I am not lying. And someone got coronavirus like that. Yeah.
Well, you think?
You think? That's a dirty thing.
Now she caught corona from her tank. Now she caught corona from her tank. Yeah. It's too much. Yeah.
It's too much. It's too much. It's too much. But no, I really, from the bottom of my heart, thank you for being here. I know it's quarantine. You have a lot going on. And we can't wait to see your show.
This quarantine, girl.
I know. But I appreciate you. And so the show will premiere. We're here on HBO April 23rd, right?
Yes, sir.
So please, yes, everyone go.
Wait, what? How do you identify?
I'm he, him, or they, either or.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. But you can call me Miss, you can call me anything. I really respond to anything.
Yeah, well, yeah.
You know, as long as it comes from the person I love, I'm fine.
Oh, I believe that too.
Yeah. I believe that too. Like,
just don't call me late for dinner.
Okay. Agreed. Tell us where we can follow you, Eureka. So unless you're not, I mean, you must be following Eureka anyway. But
At Eureka O'Hara, it's really easy. Eureka O'Hara.
Ooh, yes, honey. And don't you dare not watch. We're here with Bob and Angela and Eureka. It's going to be such a good show on HBO. What time is it on HBO?
I think at 9 p.m.
9 p.m. So April 23rd. Mm-hmm. I know y'all will still be inside at that point, so you can watch.
I know. Maybe. Apparently until the 31st, right? So far.
Apparently. Ugh. And they might extend it to the end of May. So we'll have to wait and see.
Yay. Stay sane. Excited.
Yay. Thank you. I'm so you proud too. Of everything you're doing. If you need anything, reach out. And thanks again for being here. We love you.
Yeah, you're amazing. I love you all. Take care.
Bye, sweetheart. Take care.
Bye, babes. Let's see. Bye, where's sweetheart. The
you just say leave.
Oh, she said, click the leave button, girl. Okay, there
click
we go.
Click the leave. There you go. What was that? Oh yeah. Thank you, everyone, for being here. Oh, my God. It was such an amazing moment with my friend, Eureka, the drag queen. And you can catch them on HBO coming April 23rd at 9 p.m. I am so excited to see we're here. Bye, loves. Take care. Mwah.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.